Sometimes the real truth of a story takes decades to unveil. And when that story involves drug running, police corruption in Mexico, and the Iran-Contra affair, maybe it's amazing that the wait is only a few decades. In a piece for the Arizona Republic, investigative reporter Dennis Wagner has written about former Mexico City Police Chief Arturo Durazo Moreno, also known as El Negro, and his ties to Iran-Contra in the 1980s, among other things. And Dennis is with me. Dennis, let's start with who Arturo Durazo Moreno is and what we need to know about him.
Okay, Arturo Durazo Moreno, known in Mexico widely as El Negro, or that would be Blackie in English. He was the police chief of Mexico City. He had been pals with the man who became president of Mexico, and through that connection and working security for that gentleman, he became the police chief in Mexico City, and over time he became known as the most corrupt police chief in the history of Mexico, one of the most corrupt political figures in a country that is renowned for that.
Right. I mean, did he stand out in that sense? Because, again, we all hear about Mexico police corruption. Presumably it was there before him, and it's been there since him. But was that the apex there?
Yes. He has stood out through history. There were movies about him, books about him. One of his many mansions, a place that was called the Parthenon and was designed to look like the Parthenon in Greece, is now a museum to corruption that's popular in Mexico.
Now, from your story, we know that he was making the huge sum of $1,000. It was 1,000 pesos, $1,000, the equivalent of $1,000 a month. And yet somehow he was able to have these mansions. Did that give anyone a clue that there was corruption involved there?
With corruption in government, the clue always comes long after the actual clue. And so, yeah, eventually he became a wanted man, but that's later on in the story. Mm-hmm. At the time he was police chief, he was powerful enough. And remember, he was pals with the president of the country. He was able to engage in just a host of criminal activity, including murder, extortion, narcotics trafficking, all kinds of things.
Now, in the mid to late 1980s, we had the Iran-Contra hearings looking into the Reagan administration funneling money from Iran to the Nicaraguan Contras. Where did El Negro come in with that?
There's always been a knowledge that airstrips in Mexico were part of the process. They were used to ship cocaine from Colombia and elsewhere in South America through Mexico and then into Florida or other places in the United States. And the theory is that El Negro may have had a role in facilitating that and possibly even had some airstrips.
Mike Rothmiller, who you describe incredibly in your piece as, I mean, so many things. He eventually became a host of an adventure show on ESPN. How important is he to this? Obviously, he has a book.
In terms of the story of El Negro and El Negro's activities and him being caught and all that stuff, Mike Rothmiller is a tiny bit player. He's a guy that ran into El Negro. But in terms of me telling my story, he's really important because this is a guy who was a former detective on the Los Angeles Police Department's intelligence division. And Rothmiller is now this silver-haired old guy up in Prescott, but at the time in the early 1980s, he and a partner named Kenny Hamilton were assigned to go to Mexico City and meet with intelligence resources there because the Olympics were coming up in Los Angeles and there had been tips and concerns about Latin American terrorist organizations infiltrating and attacking the Olympics, and they wanted to do intelligence sharing. So through an informer in the United States who he'd worked with for some time, Rothmiller and his partner set up a trip to Mexico City and wound up walking into the offices of this corrupt police chief.
And so what did Rothmiller say about him as far as what it was like to deal with him? Was there, because even in the piece you describe him as 5'11", kind of paunchy, and yet clearly he was a very dangerous, powerful guy.
Before he left, Rothmiller had done some research, and he had access to, obviously, to national crime computers and stuff like that, and he had found, unbelievably, that this police chief had been indicted in Florida years earlier and that somehow for cocaine smuggling, and somehow the indictment had disappeared. So he already entered the whole thing with trepidation. He goes up there and he says, you know, it was just unbelievable. He was in a kind of a cavalcade or a parade when they drove him to the police station, and he was treated like royalty. And he walks in, and the chief starts talking about his contacts with the CIA and his role with, you know, spy type stuff. And Rothmiller didn't understand it because he'd never even heard of the Iran-Contra issue at that point. But the chief also, he distinctly remembered the chief talking to him about, hey, I would be glad to help you with intelligence for the Olympics, but you know, it would really be helpful if you could provide me access to the U.S. auto theft computer data. He wanted to know what automobiles were listed in a nationwide theft computer. And the theory is, and there's a lot of evidence to show, that part of one of his operations was auto theft ring, and another was involved narcotics smuggling with stolen vehicles, both of which would have been useful to know whether this license plate's going to show up or this vehicle's going to show up.
Does it sort of get extra motivating where not only you're digging in and you're finding out something that is important, but also has such characters involved? I mean, you're still a writer. It must be fun to write about rich characters like this.
It's like walking into Disneyland, but you don't know you're in Disneyland. Because every step of the way in this story, I thought, oh, man, this is the wildest thing I could possibly find. And then the next step, I'm in the Pirates of the Caribbean or whatever it is. It was literally a revelation after a revelation, but it's over months of research and interviewing and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Dennis Wagner, investigative reporter for the Arizona Republic. Dennis, thanks.
Thank you.